Good morning from First Pentecostal Church. God bless each and every one of you. Today, we will be live streaming service only, and we appreciate you tuning in this morning. A big hello to all of our church members and hopefully those of our friends who are viewing this morning. We appreciate you tuning in this morning to be with us on the airwaves. God bless each and every one of you. We want to welcome you, and we also want to go to the Lord in prayer. We have many in our congregation who are struggling this morning. Several are sick. Some are facing procedures. Some are actually in nursing homes, and we want to reach out to each and every one of them this morning and have a very special prayer. So if you would, there at your home, just bow your head now as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, God, for your Spirit, for your mercy, and for your grace. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come this morning, God, as we prepare to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. Father, our hearts and prayers go out to those who are suffering today. Many are afflicted, many are sick. Praying right now, God, for your healing hand of power, God, to minister to those, not only to heal them, but to strengthen and encourage them too. Father, we pray for our nation, we pray for its leaders, asking you, God, to have your will and way in everything that's done or said, asking your hand to be upon this service this morning, God, that we'll be led by your Spirit. And Father, we ask that everything done this morning will be an honor for you. We'll give you all the praise. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Sister Jennifer now if she'll bring us a number or two before we get into the message. Sister Jennifer.
I'm going to sing Mercy Walked In. Y'all just worship with us. I stood in the courtroom, the judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no mercy. When mercy walked in, I stood there and wondered, how could this be that someone so guilty had just chains were broken. I felt born again. Oh, the moment that mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded to the stand. God's saving grace, the blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy. Blood was presented that covered my sin. when mercy walked in.
Thank you, Sister Jennifer. Truly, Jesus is precious, amen, to each and every one of us. And I just don't know how folks make it without a relationship with the Lord Jesus. He's always there for us, And I thank God, amen, that we have that wonderful privilege, amen, to walk with Jesus in each and every day and every situation that we may encounter. Again, our heart goes out to those this morning who are sick, those who are afflicted, and we miss you tremendously. And our hopes and prayers are that you will soon recover, amen, be able to be back with us. We do want to make the announcement that because of some sickness in the congregation, we will not be having service tonight at all. There will be no live stream service tonight. Hopefully Wednesday night we'll be back to regular, but be prepared to stay close to your emails or your text messages, and we'll make that decision later. But right now, as far as I know, we will be having service this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. So make plans to be there if you possibly can. We thank you this morning for tuning in, and as I've already said, we welcome each and every one of you, whether this is something that you normally do, if this is the first time that you viewed one of our services. We hope that you can feel the presence of the Lord there in the comfort of your home, and also we desire your prayers as we attempt to bring to you what we feel the Lord has laid upon our heart. We're living in perilous times, the Bible said. My granddaddy used to talk about it constantly. We're living in perilous times. If he could see the turmoil and the strife that's in the world today, he would certainly understand that the Bible is certainly bearing itself out. But you know what? We serve a God who's greater than any obstacle, any situation, or anything that we may encounter in this life. And I depend on him each and every day of my life. But this morning, I want to bring to you what the Lord has spoken to my heart. I believe this week it's been a continuance in my prayer and in my meditation to God. And he has spoken to me with a word. I hope it'll be of encouragement to each and every one of you. If you have your Bibles there at home, turn with us to the book of Micah in the Old Testament, into the second chapter of the book of Micah, the prophet Micah. We want to focus our attention this morning on verses number 12 and verse 13. Again, from the prophet Micah, chapter 2, beginning with verse number 12. The Bible says, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozra, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come upon before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them and the Lord on the head of them. Again, verse 13, the breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them and the Lord on the head of them. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you this morning, God, asking your blessing and your anointing, God. I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay, this vessel, this oracle this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak through us tonight, that what you would have us to hear, that we'll be submissive and obedient to your word. And God, we'll put our faith and trust in you. Even in these times that we're living, we know that your power and your greatness is far beyond anything that we could face. And now, Lord, we just have your will and way in this service. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask, amen. Today, I want to bring a message entitled Breakthrough. Breakthrough. This is the theme, this is the word that has constantly come to my attention this week, and seemingly as I was praying and asking for the leadership of God and just the Lord to give us peace in this time of unpeaceful situations. And he brought to my attention several occasions in the Bible where there had to be a breakthrough. One instance that the Lord was laying upon my heart, and seemingly we as Christians have been so spoiled by the immediate attention of God, and thank God for that, and how that he comes on the scene and answers our prayers and performs miracles and opens doors of opportunity and is there at our beckoning call. But the Lord began to deal with me on what a breakthrough really means. It's not necessarily a walkthrough. So many times we want things that are not too much effort, too much. We don't want to have to go through our strenuous situation of getting the desired effect. We want it immediately, we want it quickly, and we want it conveniently. But that's not always the case when we're asking and petitioning God for a miracle, for a move, for a healing, whatever the case may be in our life. Breakthrough basically is defined as an act, or instance of moving through or beyond an obstacle. And folks, if we ever needed to have relief and victory over obstacles in our life, it's certainly the day and hour that we're living in. One writer put it this way: we cannot experience the other breakthroughs that God has for us until we first receive and believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. If we have received the Lord Jesus Christ, then we must believe in Him. We must believe that He is. We must believe He is a rewarder. We must believe that He honors faith. Amen. And we must be able to put our faith and trust in a never-failing God. Micah here, the prophet, he's preaching a message, basically, and a warning to the house of Jacob. In verse number 10, the prophet says, "Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. Because it is polluted, it shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction." I believe with all of my heart that Micah was not only talking about the day and hour that the house of Jacob or the children of Israel were living in that day and in that instance, but I believe it is a type and shadow of what we're facing today. There is a time when we, the church, and I'm not talking about this building, I'm talking about the body of believers, those that have been born again, washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, those who are living and operating in faith, it is time, amen, that we begin to break down the barriers, we begin to have a breakthrough, a spiritual breakthrough, whether it be for the entire movement or for our individual self. There's many people out there today, I'm sure under the sound of my voice, that need a spiritual breakthrough now. Whatever you may be facing, whatever the consequences are, it's not always affliction, it's not always sickness. Sometimes it's anxiety, sometimes it's just depression, it's the things of this world. And rightfully so, because if we are if we let the things of this world govern our life and govern our mind and constantly consume with the evil that's in this world, no wonder there's so much depression in the world today. But the church needs to rise above that. He uses some words here that we need to understand. First of all, he says that they will pollute you and destroy you. I want to remind us today that we do have an adversary. We have one that is very active in the world today. There is a spiritual wickedness in the present world that you and I are living in. Now, it's not more powerful and it's not greater than the power of God, but it is nevertheless powerful, and it is able to deceive. It is able to even come in and cause stress and problems in our life if we adhere to that spiritual wickedness. But Micah here warns the house of Jacob. He warns the children of Israel who have just come through countless numbers of battles and situations, and things are not really, really good and in their life and in the life of Israel at this particular time, and there needs to be a breakthrough. There needs to be a spiritual breakthrough. There needs to be, again, a dependency on God. And isn't it amazing that during the Bible's writing, when the children of Israel, even from the time that they were delivered out of Egyptian bondage, how that when they depended on the Lord, God moved for them. In every situation, God made a preparation for them. He made provision for them. He protected them. He made a way of escape for them many, many times. And when they would depend on the Lord always came through for them. But when they began to be slack in their appreciation and their praise of God, again, they would get into this situation where they would become more like the world. And I believe that set an example for the church of the present day. If we will depend on God, no matter what the situation is, God is able to lift us out and bring us back into victory. So we need to understand that Micah was preaching here at this particular time. He said, you need to depart, you need to arise and come out of that situation. Can I remind you this morning that you are affected by the company that you keep? You're affected by the environment that you are around. And especially if you allow that to infiltrate your spiritual walk with the Lord. We as the church need to rise above that. We as the church need to stand strong, especially in this day and hour that we're living in. We need to be basically a spiritual billboard to those who are unsaved and those who are struggling in this world, to let them know that even though we face adversity, even though we face situations in our life, we still know that greater is He that is within us than he that is against us. And we must maintain that faith, that never failing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's telling them to arise, and not only arise, but depart. In other words, leave this situation behind. Because if you continue this, it will pollute you and eventually destroy you. Basically, what he's telling them is you need a breakthrough. And that's what verse 13 says. I love the writing of the word. It says, the breaker is come. I want to remind us this morning that the breaker has come. He came thousands of years ago, and he bled and died on the cross of Calvary. And because, amen, that he gave his life, and he is victorious over death, hell, and the grave, he is alive and well today. He is that breakthrough, that spiritual breakthrough that we can depend on. The breaker is come. Not only was Micah talking about that time that they was going to rise above that situation, and they was going to come out victorious, and they was going to leave that evilness behind, and they was going to come out, amen, and break through the walls, and they have been broken up, because he said the breaker was there, and they was going to be victorious. So not only was talking about a natural king there, but I believe he's also talking and giving a type and a shadow of the coming of the Messiah. And when the Messiah came, amen, the walls had to tumble down. There was a breakthrough, a spiritual breakthrough, when Jesus Christ came and bled and died on the cross of Calvary. So we need to understand that a breakthrough understands you need to break free. There's things that we need in our life, amen, that are in our life now that we need to let go of. There's chains that need to be broken. Even there in your home, even there in your family, I would assure you that there's things that have become weighty and a type of contraband into your life. Things that are unnecessary. Worry and turmoil and strife and anxiety and depression and all of those things that weight us down. And they will weight us down, because our adversary is as a roaring lion coming around trying to deceive the very elect. But we need to stand strong and rebuke him in the name that is above every name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and have a spiritual breakthrough in our life, and also break free from those things. Sometimes breakthrough doesn't come easy. I thought about is many times when we want immediate relief, and we want, and we become a nation of convenience and a nation of we don't want to struggle anymore. We want everything pretty much handed to us. And you know, I was thinking in my childhood and how that different times you had to learn, and you had to learn sometimes through bumps and scratches and abrasions. You had to learn basically how to do these things. I remember trying to learn to ride a bike. If I'd have jumped on the bicycle the very first time and been able to pedal it, probably wouldn't have appreciated it near as much as I would learning and trying to be dependent on myself. I had my daddy behind me pushing the bicycle and holding on and watching me, and when I'd fall, he'd pick me up and say, come on, you did pretty good, you need to try it again. But I remember that one time when he pushed me out there and I was able to ride that bicycle solo, and from then on I knew that I had conquered that fear over falling. And sometimes we have to do that with the things in our life. We have to give them to the Lord Jesus Christ and quit being afraid of everything, quit fearing this and quit fearing that, and know that we can depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way the church is supposed to operate. That's what the church is supposed to be. We're not supposed to be one that portrays a fear and trembling over every little situation, but we're the ones that need to point the world to Jesus Christ and know that he is not only the healer of the body, amen, but he is also the healer, amen, of our emotions and our spiritual fears that we may have in this life. So sometimes the breakthrough doesn't come easy. I'm reminded of a scripture in the book of St. Luke in the 11th chapter, where Jesus himself said, and this is very interesting that Jesus used this analogy. In verse number 9 of the 11th chapter, he said, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. You know, words mean things, and especially when they're written in red and they come from Jesus Christ himself. Notice he uses three things here. He says ask, and he says seek, and he says knock. I believe so many times we just want just the asking part. We just want to ask the Lord and go on about our business and just accept that it's done. And again, that's faith. That's faith believing that the Lord is able to do what he said he would do. But I find it very interesting that Jesus followed that up with some seeking too. I mean, first of all, when we ask the Lord, we have to know, amen, who we're asking and what God is able to do, and that we're asking the creator of the world. We're asking the very one who breathed his breath into our nostrils and we became a living soul, the one that we live in dependency upon. And when we ask him and we follow that up with seeking him, we need to seek God's will. Because let me tell you something, if we just ask and ask alone, many times the Bible says we ask amiss. Amen. Meaning that we don't ask the right situation. We need to ask the counsel of God. We need to ask what God's will is in our life. I try to incorporate the will of God in my life in every prayer, because if I don't, I'm so afraid that the fleshly part of my prayer, amen, will intercede and I will begin to ask what Eddie needs or what I think I need, rather than asking what the Lord wants to do in my life or what I need from him. And then he follows that up with seeking him. I want to seek the Lord in every avenue of my life. You know, we talk about seeking the Lord, and we so many times refer that to when we were seeking the Spirit of the Lord to infill our life. And certainly that is a time of seeking the Lord. But I believe that even believers need to seek the Lord. Those that have been filled with His Spirit continually need to seek the advice and the counsel of the Lord Jesus Christ in every facet, every avenue of our life. I find myself, the older I get and the more I live for the Lord, the more dependent I become on His counsel and His advice. In fact, I'm almost at the point that I don't trust anything that I think, first of all, until I've had a time and an opportunity to bow on my knees and ask the Lord for His leadership and His guidance. And this applies in every avenue of my life, not only in the spiritual matters, but in the financial matters and the physical needs of life as we have to endure this life. I want to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. So there is a seeking that follows up with the asking. And then the last thing that he says is very, very interesting. He says, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Understand that the breakthrough is there. The spiritual breakthrough, the breakthrough through finances, the breakthrough of marital problems, the breakthrough with just a closer walk with you, or whatever situations or problems may be in your life that you are dealing with or that you have encountered. Understand that there's a process there, and the breakthrough is there, but sometimes persistence pays off. And I believe the Lord honors persistence. I believe that He rewards those who pray and continually petition the Lord in a persistent prayer. Not that God is not able to do it upon the very first request, but many, many times it's we have to get our spirit right and our heart right when we go to the Lord in prayer. So the very fact that he followed that up with knock, and when we were knocking, you know, so many times in the Bible, excuse me, Christ refers to himself as the door. He is the door. Amen. And there's a beautiful picture that shows that Christ is knocking at the door, and there's no door handle there, meaning that the door must be open from the inside. Now, that's significant. It's an artist's portrayal of the individual life. The Lord is not going to knock the door down just to come into our life. He will not come as an uninvited guest. We must invite Him into our life. We must open up our heart's door. We must open up that door of resistance and ask the Lord to come in as Lord and Savior of our life. But now He follows up those requests with knock, and knocking at the door. If we're knocking at the wrong door, if we're looking for the wrong places to get help, and many, many times we do, and unfortunately, in this life, many, many times, the Lord is the last person that we go to when we need something. Only after we've tried every other thing, only after we've tried to do it ourselves, tried to get professional help in other areas, only then do we realize that nobody's going to be able to help me except God. And then so many times He is the very last alternative that we go to, when in fact He ought to be the very first one that we go through. And many, many times in the Bible we talk about breakthroughs and we talk about how God operated. And again, I'm not trying to tell you that God can't do it when you first call on Him. He is able to do, as we often say, exceeding abundantly above all that you and I could ever even ask or even think. God is so great and omnipotent in His power that He can do any and everything. But sometimes I think God is just wanting to see how serious we are about the request or about the petitions that we make for Him. And sometimes God wants us to put forth some effort. I believe that effort still impresses God. Amen. because he talks about faith and he talks about works as well. And faith without works, the Bible says, is dead. So it's not that God can't do it. It's just that God expects us to be serious, amen, and truly resilient in our prayer and persistent in our prayer to release it unto God. I found out that so many times the first part of my prayers are so filled with requests and desires that it leaves very, very little room for praise and exaltation unto God. So I'm trying to redo and rethink my prayers and start off with praise and worship first before I even ask the Lord anything. And I know that God honors our praise and He lives in a habitation of our glory and praise unto Him. So if you're having trouble praying, begin your prayer with just thanksgiving and praise and adoration unto the Lord. But some examples here in the Bible where there was a breakthrough. And the breakthrough didn't always immediately come. And I'm reminded that Joshua at the walls of Jericho, when Joshua took the reins of the leadership of the children of Israel and they were getting ready to go into the promised land and there were still obstacles. Understand and know that even though we have the promise of entering to a promised land, there's still going to be obstacles, there's still going to be pitfalls, there's still going to be stumbling blocks in our life. But we can overcome those through the faith and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Joshua comes to Jericho and God says, "See, I have given you this city." And when you naturally look at the walls of Jericho, the walls were still there. It was almost impenetrable. There was there for a reason to keep invading armies out. But God said, "I've given you this city. But here's what I want you to do. Rather than me just immediately tearing down the walls, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get the children of Israel. I want you to get the priest. And I want you to walk around the wall one time for 6 straight days." Now, I know that we have become a prayer away, amen, just to ask God, "Lord, I just need it right now." And I wonder sometimes how persistent we would be if we had to pray for 6 straight days, amen, for the breakthrough or the moving of God. But understand, God told Joshua, "I want you to walk around the walls of Jericho once daily, and then on the 7th day, I want you to walk around 7 times." Now, that's a lot to ask of somebody. And understand, they were not to do anything. God was going to do it all. God's not going to ask us to do something that is humanly impossible for us to do. But He's making a very small request here. "I want to honor your faith, and I want you to walk around the walls one time for 6 straight days. And on the 7th day, I want you to walk around it 7 days and blast on the ram's horn." And at that particular time, you know the story that God took over, and the walls of Jericho fell flat. There was a great breakthrough. Amen? That breakthrough could have come before the watching of the walls. But because we need to go by God's ordinances and His precepts and His statutes, and when God speaks something, we must adhere and be submissive and obedient to that. So that's just one example of a great breakthrough, but it took persistence, amen, on the part of Joshua and the children of Israel. We read in the Bible also where Naaman had leprosy, and he was found out through this little servant girl that there was a prophet. Amen. God always has a man of God, and there was a prophet. And she said, "Would to my that the my master would go to the prophet that could heal him." And so he goes to Elijah, he and the great entourage that was with him, and they find Elijah. And Elijah sends out a servant. Kind of already didn't set the stage too well for Naaman, because he thought when his prominence and his importance that at least the prophet could come out and speak to him personally. But he sends out one of his servants, and the servant tells him, "My master says for you to go down into Jordan River and dip 7 times, and your skin will be cleansed. You'll be cleansed from the leprosy." Well, it automatically, Naaman doesn't like that. He said there were better rivers and better waters back where he was coming from. And, you know, how dare this man of God tell me that I need to go down in this muddy Jordan River? Amen. I want an immediate breakthrough. I want a healing right now. But how many knows that God doesn't always see things the way that we do? So finally, as they're starting to leave, his servant says, "You know, if he had asked you to do some great thing, then you would have done it." In other words, if he had asked for a lot of money, you would have given it to him. If he had asked for a lot of rewards, you would have done that. He's simply ask you to go down into the River Jordan and dip 7 times. What's it going to hurt? Go ahead and try it. So Naaman goes down and he dips 7 times. And you know what? You know, a lot of us would want it on that first dip or that second time that we dunk our head under the water. We want to come up then. But it took him seven times. And when he came up the seventh time, the Bible tells us that his skin was cleansed and he was made whole of the leprosy. So God has a purpose on what he asks us to do. There will be a breakthrough. I believe with all of my heart. But if God asks us to do certain things, if God asks us to pray or fast for a certain situation, let's not be too quick to give up on God. Let's keep praying. Let's keep endeavoring, because there is, at the end of that time, a great spiritual breakthrough. And I think that's what the church is experiencing now. I look at the situations that are happening, and I see an opportunity. I see an opportunity for the church to grow. I see an opportunity for individual Christians to grow, because our dependency no longer is on our nation. Our dependency no longer is on the people around us or what they can do for us. I'm at a point in my life where I'm only dependent on God, and knowing within my heart that God is going to make a way. I believe there's going to be a great spiritual awakening. I believe there's going to be a great spiritual breakthrough. I pray that it starts here in First Pentecostal Church. I pray that it starts there in your family, in your individual life. If you're listening today or viewing by live stream, I want to encourage you that God has a great reward and a great spiritual breakthrough for you. Are we persistent enough to incorporate that into our prayer and our meditation with God? And finally, I want to leave you with Elijah again. Elijah had this great experience with the prophets of Baal, and God just made believers out of, let all of them know who the true God was. And there was a great drought in the land, a terrible drought. And Elijah goes up, and he's praying that God will send rain again on the earth. And I believe there's a perfect type and shadow there. I believe that we are in a great spiritual drought in our nation. We are experiencing times when many, many people have turned from honoring and serving and praising God into honoring and serving and praising other things and other people. God is always displeased when our favor and when our adoration turns from him. The Bible says he is a jealous God. He will have no other gods before him. If anything else comes out of this situation, at least maybe the church will again recognize that God is in fact our deliverer. He can do what no man can. So Elijah goes up to the mountain, and he casts himself down, and he begins to pray an intent prayer, a prayer, amen, of belief. A prayer that we need rain upon this earth. And God didn't send the rain soon as Elijah started praying. He had a servant with him, and he said, "Go and see." And he looked out over the sea and could not see anything, and came back and said, "I don't see any clouds whatsoever." And you Bible readers know that seven times, again, in all three of these instances, God used the number seven. And on the seventh time, the servant returned. And listen to this. The servant returned with only a little bit of news. He said, "Yes, there is a cloud, but it's only about the size of a man's hand." So again, he was already sowing doubt. The servant was, but not Elijah. Elijah knew that there was about to be a great breakthrough. He knew that the rain was going to come. He did not wait till the first drop hit him on the head. Understand in a spiritual matter how that is. So many times we want to wait till we see the effects before we claim victory. I have learned, amen, in serving God for a few years, that God doesn't always operate that way. He honors faith. Faith, when we call that prayer done, even before we see the effects of it. Prayer, when we call that affliction healed, even before we get the feeling better. Even before the pain leaves sometimes. If we'll just declare it done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will honor that faith and send forth that spiritual breakthrough. So the servant comes back and he says, "Yeah, there's a little cloud, a small evidence that there's going to be a breakthrough." I hope somebody today will agree with me that we see a small cloud, a small evidence that God is about to give a great spiritual breakthrough to the church, to the nation, to those that are believing, for those that have been praying. I know people out there that are listening and viewing this morning, you've been praying for a mighty move of God. You've been praying for peace in your family. Maybe you've been praying, amen, just for a closer walk with the Lord. God is going to honor your prayer. God is going to honor your persistence. God is going to honor your faith. And I believe that you will agree with me this morning that we're about to experience a mighty spiritual breakthrough for those, amen, who have been persistent enough to say, you know what? Things may not be going good. Things may be going on a downhill, but I'm putting my faith and trust in God, and God is going to send forth a great breakthrough in our life. So he comes back and he tells Elijah, just a little small evidence of a cloud, but it's only about the size of a man's hand. Elijah gets up and said, we got to get down because it's going to come an abundance of rain. I wonder today if I could get anybody to believe with me that it's about to come an abundance of a spiritual rain. I believe that God is getting ready to answer the prayers of so many faithful prayer warriors that have been sending these prayers up for years and years and years. Prayers that, amen, that some of your children may be saved. Prayers that some of your people that you work with, your spouses may be saved. Prayer, amen, that God's going to send forth a spiritual anointing upon this land. Amen, that we will turn again from our wickedness and from our polluted and ways of this world and turn again to an almighty God who is able to deliver us. So believe with me this morning, and when you pray, believe that God is going to do what he said he would do. Don't get discouraged if God doesn't answer it immediately. Don't get discouraged even if you don't see the effects in a week or two. Understand that God has his time, and his time is always perfect. If God always did everything according to our plans and our time, I think so many times that we would have the wrong information and it would not be done correctly. But when God does it, he does it right. Amen. I'm believing, and I want you to believe with me today, for a great spiritual breakthrough. A breakthrough, again, an act or an instance of moving through or beyond an obstacle. It's time for the church to move through and beyond that obstacle. It's time for you as an individual to move through or beyond that obstacle in your life. And you know, we're all different. Many different obstacles in our life. What may be a stumbling block or an obstacle to one may not be to another. But I'll assure you, there's things in our life, if we're not careful, will become an obstacle or a stumbling block or something in our life that we need deliverance from. And pray with me this morning as we begin to close this service, that there is a great anointing and a spiritual breakthrough, not only in the lives of this church and in our congregation, but so many people who are struggling today. And God knows and sees the struggles that you're going through. And if for one moment you think that God doesn't care, you need to read the Word of God. He cares for each and every one of us. And he loves us beyond our ability to even comprehend the majesty and the greatness and the vastness of his wonderful love. May God bless you. We love you. We thank you for tuning in this morning and for viewing this live stream. We hope and pray that the Word of God and the songs have been a blessing to you. We hope you have a wonderful day. May God bless those this morning who are sick and those who are afflicted. So if you will bow your heads with me there at home, if we will pray in one mind and one accord, we will dismiss this service. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity to come into your house to worship this morning. God, we're so thankful for the ability to live stream to those that are not able to come. And Father, we pray this morning that this word would reach out to the many people, Lord, who need to hear a word of encouragement. God, we know that we're living in perilous times, but we know that we serve a mighty God. And Father, we pray, God, that you would always be first and foremost in our life. We pray for your will to be done. Lord, that your will supersede our will. God, that we'll learn to make our will be more in tune to yours. God, we do remember those of our congregation this morning. God, and we pray right now a very special prayer of healing on behalf of each and every one. God, touch them, anoint them, heal and strengthen them right now. And Father, we pray too that you would reach to those who are lost and undone. God, if there's anyone tuning in this morning, God, that has not made that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who have not opened up their heart's door, Lord, I pray that this will be the time, this will be the day that they will accept Jesus Christ and have the precious blood applied to their life. God, again, we thank you and we love you. We ask these blessings in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful and blessed day.